听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年4月22日，星期三。我们再次荣幸地邀请到了 Radha Charanprabhu 为我们继续来讲解《永恒的潜在眼睛》。Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Hare Krishna
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service.
今天我们来学习永恒的且贪念经师且贪念 Charitamrita Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第22章奉献服务的程序。
Broadcasting this morning from Sri Mayapur Dham.
今天早上我们是在 Sri Mayapur Dham 向大家直播。
And today we are starting a new chapter.
今天我们开始新的一章。
But before we begin, we have to catch up with one question from last week.
但是在我们开始今天的课程之前，我们先来回答上周遗留下来的问题。
And we would like to request the audience to try as much as possible to ask questions that are relevant to the lecture and the topic which is being discussed.
那我们也想鼓励所有的听众奉献者们能够尽可能的去询问一些和当天的讲课的内容相关的一些主题问题。
Thank you.
感谢大家。
Okay, so the question is...
那上一周最后的一个问题是来自于了真假的转接。Prabhupada 的 Guru 曾经说宁可把庙拆了也要印书派书，难道派书真的比建庙更加重要吗？为什么现在大多数人都热衷于捐款捐庙呢？So Srila Prabhupada 的 Guru said that we would rather dismantle the temples in order to sell the marbles to do book distribution. Does that mean that book distribution is really more important than the construction of a temple? If that's the case, why there are so many people who are so enthusiastic about giving donations for temple construction?
Okay, very good question.
这个问题问得好。
We have to always understand situation based on the context.
那我们去理解一个问题的时候呢，首先要看一下这个语境或者说这个背景。
And it's also important that when we ask questions, we first of all do our own research so we can be well informed.
还有呢，就是说在我们在去想了解一个问题的时候，我们也可以先做一些调查研究，然后呢，可以去了解相关的一些背景信息。
Because the situation with the marble in Calcutta is different than the situation with the marble that we have today.
那当时所说的这个加尔各答庙宇的这个大理石的这个事情和我们现在所说的现在的这个庙的是大理石是不是一回事。
The temple that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati built in Calcutta was the first everBig temple of the Gaudiya Vaishnava community.
当时你的这个问题里所说到的这个庙呢，是指的是加尔各答的庙，是由这个 Srila Prabhupada 的灵性导师 Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 建立的。那当时是这个 Gaudiya Math， 就是 Gaudiya 修院在全印度的一个最宏大的庙宇。
And it is still today situated in a very strategic location in the city.
那么直到今天呢，这个庙宇还在，而且是在这个城市当中，一个非常重要的一个区域。
So it was meant to attract a lot of people.
所以当时选址的时候呢，其实也是有战略性的眼光的。目的是为了吸引更多的人。
This was something new for devotees.
啊，那对奉献者来说呢？You mean at that time?
Yeah.
那当时建这个庙的时候呢，对很多奉献者来说的话，还是一件非常新鲜的事情。
So.What happened is the brahmacharis and the sannyasis started to make themselves a little bit too comfortable.
所以呢，当时的那些 brahmachari 真守身，还有那些 sannyasi 托钵僧呢，所以就都争相的想让自己在这庙里过得更舒服一些。
And lose the focus on the preaching.
所以呢，他们的这个目标和这个焦点呢，就发生了这个转移，没有在。关注于这个传教了。
So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, I would rather sell the marble and concentrate on book distribution.
所以呢，当时呢，他们的灵性导就是 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 就说，那我宁愿把这个庙拆了，也要专注在拍书上。
Which means that the emphasis is that the knowledge of Krishna consciousness should be distributed widely.
那么当时他其实说这句话的重点就是说那个 Krishna 知觉的这个核心就是在于要去广泛的去派发知识。
And, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati compared the book distribution to the Brihat Mrinanga.
那 Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 他把派书比喻成为 Brihat Mrinanga, 意思就是说大逆当家。
In other words, when you have a kirtan and you beat the drum, you may hear it in one room or two rooms, but beyond that, you will not hear it.
那就是说呢，如果是在 kirtan 的这个时候，有人敲起了这个弥当加鼓的话，那最多也就是一两个房间比较近的这个地方能够听到这个弥当加鼓的鼓声，但是呢，更远的地方就听不到了。
But transcendental knowledge is also kirtan.
那超然的这个知识呢，也是 kirtan。
And if you distribute books, then it's like having a massively expanded kirtan.
那如果说呢，你去派书的话，那就相当于是掀起了一场非常宏大的大 kirtan。
So he called it Brihat Mridanga, the great kirtan.
所以呢，他就把这个派书的这件事情誉为是 Brihat Mridanga, 就是大弥当加鼓。
So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati expressed his concerns to Srila Prabhupada.
那当时是 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 呢，就把他的这个忧虑说给了 Srila Prabhupada.
And then he told him, if you ever get any money,
所以他就对这个 Prabhupada 说呢，你只要一有钱，
print books,
就要去印书。
So Prabhupada not only managed to print a lot of books, he managed to distribute a lot of books.
那Srila Prabhupada 后来就不仅是印了很多书，而且也派发了大量的书。
And Srila Prabhupada was so expert that he even managed to build temples with the money from the sales of the books.
而且Srila Prabhupada 呢是非常的精道的，而且还想方设法的把派书所得来的这个钱款用于庙宇的建设。
Now that the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita is out and being sold to the devotees, you may as well read that book and memorize it page by page.
那现在既然这个 Prabhupada 的这个永恒观录这本书已经出来了，如果你真的看到了这本书呢，那你最好还是一页一页仔细的看，能够把书里的这个所有的内容都能够牢记在心。
So you can understand exactly how Prabhupada did things.
那你就能够了解到 Srila Prabhupada 他是怎么样做事情的。
Now, you will understand by reading the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita and even by looking at the way ISKCON operates today.
然后呢，你不仅可以在这个 Prabhupada 的生平甘露里面看到这些事情的描述，而且呢，你如果说你看一看现在ISKCON 的这个运作的方式，
that not only devotees manage to open new temples, but they distribute even more books than ever before.
那现在的情况就是 ISKCON 不仅是建了很多很多新的庙宇，而且这个 派书量呢也远远的高于过去。
For example, here in Sridhar Mayapur,
我们举个例子，就拿这里的 Sridhar Mayapur, 马亚坡圣地来说。
So much money is being poured into building this TOVP.
那这个大量的这个钱款呢，涌入到TOVP, 就是这个理解之庙大庙的建设当中。
Which is one biggest project.Which is the realization of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada's desire.
那这个大庙的这个建设的这个工程项目，实际上是对 Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur 和 Srila Prabhupada 的一个夙愿的实现。
But you have to understand also that in Mayapur there are over 100 brahmacharis who are full-time book distributors.
但是我们也得知道，在这个 Mayapur 呢，至少有100位全职派书的 brahmachari 正手生。
Not only that, but Mayapur is very often number one in book distribution in the world.
而且 Mayapur 呢，往往就是全世界的这个派书第一。
And it's the same for the big temple in Delhi and the big temple in Bombay and the big temple in South India. They are the biggest book distributors in the world.
而且呢，不仅是 Mayapur 在德里的这个庙，还有孟买的庙，还有南印度的这个庙呢，他们经常就是在派书方面呢，都是非常的出色的，是位居最前列。
So if there was no book distribution, maybe we should be concerned about building temples, but it's completely the opposite. India is distributing millions of books and the rest of the world is distributing millions of books. We have absolutely no concern whatsoever.
那如果说我们没有这个这么大的派书项目的话，那可能要把这个心思都专注在建庙上面了，但事实的这个情况还并非是这样。事实上我们是不管是在印度还是世界的这个各地呢，就是派发的这个书籍都是不计其数的。
In addition to that, you will be very happy to know that our dear pioneer, Gauranga Prema Prabhu from China, who is relocated in Los Angeles, is the number four biggest book distributor in North America.
而且呢，大家也要知道，就是在我们中国有一位最早的这个奉献者啊，一位先锋人物。那他的名字叫 Gauranga Prema Prabhu。后来他就是从中国，到了美国，现在是定居在美国。他现在是北美传教北美的这个派书的第四位。
Now we shall begin the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita.
那现在呢，我们就开始我们的是《Chaitanya Charitamrita》用永恒的《Chaitanya经》。
So this new chapter is entitled "The Process of Devotional Service."
那么这个新的这一章呢，这个题目叫做“奉爱服务的程序”。
And we'll find that both in the conversation between Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the basis of understanding of Krishna consciousness.
那我们就会发现，无论是和卢卡格斯瓦米还是和塞纳坦格斯瓦米的这个对话当中呢，这个切坦尼马哈帕布都揭示了 Krishna 知觉的基本要义。
Which we later find in the books of the Goswamis.
那这之后呢，我们是在 Goswami 们的这个著作当中可以看到这些阐释。
Such as the nectar of devotion.
比如说像奉爱的甘露
or Hari Bhakti Vilas
还有呢 Hari Bhakti Vilas
or the Brihad Bhagavatamrita
或者是 Brihad Bhagavatamrita
So these books are all based they are written by the Goswamis but they are based on the conversation and the teachings they receive from Lord Chaitanya
那刚才我们说的这些书呢都是这些 Goswami 们的著作但是书中的这个内容其实都是基于 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu和卢卡格斯瓦米或者塞纳坦格斯瓦米之间的这个对话。
So this is called empowerment.
这个就叫做这个能量的赋予。
Lord Chaitanya empowers the disciple and then he gives the intelligence by which the service can be performed.
那首先切坦尼亚马哈帕布给他的门徒赋予了这个力量然后同时呢也为他们注入智慧能够让他们去进一步的去传扬这些知识。
So Srila Prabhupada explains this is the nature of an instruction given by the guru to the disciple.
那Srila Prabhupada呢他就是说呢就是这个 当这个一个训示从这个灵性导师传递到门徒的时候，那么这个训示当中所展示出来的这个特点就是这样的。
Firstly, when a guru gives instruction to the disciple, the guru is very much aware that the disciple should be able to follow that instruction.
首先，当一个灵性导师给自己的门徒训练的时候，他的心中是非常的清楚的，他知道他的门徒可以严格的去遵循他的训示去做。
And therefore, with the instruction, the guru gives the intelligence by which that instruction can be followed.
好，所以这样呢，当这个灵性导师把训谕给予门徒的时候，其实呢，他也是随着这个训谕，也同时给予了门徒这个去遵循这个训谕的智慧。
So as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking, at the same time he empowers.
所以呢，在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的这个和在他的门徒的这个对话的过程当中，其实呢，他同时也为他们注入了这个力量，也就是赋予了他们力量。
Let us not forget the most important point.
但是在这里呢，我们不要错过一个要点。
The most important point in acquiring knowledge, and as a matter of fact, the most important point for devotional service is attitude.
但是说，无论是在询问这个问题，还是说在修习 Krishna 知觉。就是做奉献服务的这个过程当中，这个重中之重是一个人的态度。
One must approach the spiritual master with the right attitude, not the wrong attitude.
就是当一个人他接近自己的灵性导师的时候，一定要有一个非常好的心态或者说态度，所以他的这种态度必须是端正的。
And when we say the spiritual master, it doesn't mean just, oh, I only go to my Diksha Guru and I only listen to my Diksha Guru.
但是当我们说到这个灵性导师的时候，不是说哦，我只听我的 Diksha Guru, 我的启迪灵性导师的话。
That's already the wrong attitude.
那如果是有这样的一种心态的话呢，这已经是不正了。
When we receive instructions from the Guru,We should accept it with a straw between our teeth.
当我们去接受我们的灵性导师给予我们的训示的时候，我们应当就像在口中衔着青草一样。
When the senior devotees who oftentimes represent our guru, we should accept their instruction with a straw between our teeth.
那就是说呢，当我们的一些年长的奉献者是代表着我们的灵性导师出现在我们的面前给予我们教导的时候，我们也应当是口衔轻草去亲耳聆听。
Not that they say something and we say yes, 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 and then we do something else.
不是说他们跟我们说些什么，然后我们口头上一连串的称是，但是实际上呢，行动上又是完全是另外一回事。
This is highly offensive and is hypocritical and will never make spiritual advancement.
那这个是就说明这个人这个门徒是非常的虚伪的而且在这个灵性上面是永远不可能得到任何进步的，而且也非常的冒犯。
We have to understand very seriously what is the nature of relationship between guru and disciple.
所以我们应当要怀着一种非常认真的态度去理解门徒和灵性导师之间的这种关系的本质。
Because guru can be represented in many different ways.
因为呢 guru 他的这个代表可能以各种各样的方式出现在我们的面前。
So in the particular case here of Lord Chaitanya and Sanatan Goswami,We can go back to the very beginning of their meeting and how Sanatan Goswami presented himself.
所以呢，我们现在讲到了就是Chaitanya Mahaprabhu和 Sanatan Goswami 之间的这个关系。但是我们可以回溯到当初最早的时候，当 Sanatan Goswami 第一次见到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的时候，他是一种什么样的一种心态？
He presented himself as a fool.
他当时呢，他完全是以一个就是自己是一个一无所知的蠢人的一种心态。
Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as a fool.
就算是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 也是也有在他的灵性导师面前也是这样的一个心态。
Sanatan Goswami says, people say I am very learned.
Sanatan Goswami 呢，第一次见Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的时候，他说，人们认为我是饱学之士。
People call me a pundit, a learned scholar.
那人们尊称我为 pundit. Pundit 就是说是一个博学之人。
People respect me as a great authority.
而且呢，人们呢也尊称我为最高的权威。
But I don't even know who I am.
但是我连自己是谁都不知道。
Not only that, but I don't understand why the threefold miseries of material nature are constantly harassing me.
而且我也不知道为什么这个物质自然的中的三种痛苦会一直不断的打击着我。
So with that attitude, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. And he was more than happy to empower Sanatan Goswami.
因为呢 ，Sanatan Goswami 表现出这样的一种态度，所以呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢感到非常的满意，他非常高兴的，把这个力量赋予了 Sanatan Goswami.
And we will see in the Antya Lila that another devotee approached Lord Chaitanya with the wrong attitude.
然后到了后面的这个 Antya Lila。就是夏天，这个末期逍遥当中，我们可以看到有另外一个奉献者。但是呢，他当时在这个Chaitanya Mahaprabhu面前的这个心态是非常的不端正的。
Because he thought that he knew more than anyone else.
因为呢，他以为他自己比别人都更聪明。
And he became rejected by the community of devotees.
所以呢，就是因为他这个心态而遭到。
So one has to be very, very careful and be very thoughtful how we approach Krishna consciousness with which attitude and which mood.
所以说呢，我们应当要以一种什么样的心态去进入到 Krishna 直觉当中？在这一点上面，我们一定要深思熟虑，一定要非常认真严肃的对待。
Not that we make everyone believe that we are doing so many things, but actually it is not beneficial for our own spiritual life.
不是说呢，在大家的这个面前趾高气扬，显示自己做了多大的、多重要的这个奉献服务，但是事实上呢，对于自己的灵性的进步却于事无补。
We can be distributing millions of books.
我们可以派发出千千万万本书。
We can be printing millions of books.
我们可能也印刷了无数本书。
We can be making millions of devotees.
可能也可以发展出数百万的、上千万的奉献者。
We can be building millions of.
也可以建造这个成千上万的这个大庙。
But do we have the right attitude?
但是在我们做这一切的时候，是否有一个真正的？很好的这个心态呢
Is it actually pleased with the spiritual master?
这个心态是否真的是想要去取悦自己的灵性导师呢
That can be very questionable.
这个呢是值得质疑的
So throughout the narrative of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we only see that same mood all the time of extreme humility and this attitude of full surrender at every page.
所以在这个 Chaitanya Charitamrita 我们的 Chaitanya 经的这个叙述过程当中啊，我们在这个字里行间，在每一个书页当中都可以看到有这样的一种绝对的一种谦卑的一种心态贯穿始终的。
Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami undertook this huge writing project.Only because of the blessing of the devotees.
那 Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami 就是永恒的且天人心的这个作者的，他开始去着手去撰著这么宏大的一篇有关且天人 Mahaprabhu 的这个著作。那其原因其实只是始于他首先是得到了奉献者们的祝福。
only because he received an instruction.
只是在他得到了周围的这些奉献者们的训示之后，他才开始
着笔。So, when the Vaishnava community expresses a certain desire, we should surrender to the Vaishnava community.
所以说呢，当我们周围的这个 Vaishnava 的这个社团，他们表达出了对我们的某一种期许的时候，那我们应当要以一种完全皈依的这种态度去满足他们的愿望。
When the senior devotees express certain desires, we should surrender to those senior devotees.
所以当这个年长的这个奉献者，他们就是表达出他们的一定的这个愿望，或者说训示的时候，我们是应当去皈依这样的一种愿望。
And when the spiritual master expresses a desire, we should surrender to the spiritual master.
那当我们的这个灵性导师表达了某一种愿望的时候呢，我们也应当要皈依这种愿望，去接受这种愿望。
Otherwise, there is no spiritual advancement.
不然的话就不可能有任何的灵性进步可言。
So, in this chapter,the process of devotional service.
那么就是在这一章，也就是奉爱服务的程序之中。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to describe in every detail what is the attitude of a devotee to acquire the mercy of Krishna.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他将会细细的描述，一个奉献者应当如何去获得来自于 Krishna 的恩赐。
And just to refresh our memory, I will put everything into context based on the past chapters.
那么就是为了让大家对前面的这个内容有更新一下这个记忆呢，所以说在我在讲这一章的时候，我也时不时会就是参考前面所讲到的那些章节的内容。
So that we are clear on what is the objective behind this conversation.
所以这样呢，就可以帮助大家去理解他们之间的这个对话背后的目的是什么。
Let's not forget.
那我们不要忘记了。
Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他是至尊主本人。
Sanatana Goswami is his eternal associate in Goloka Vrindavan.
而 Sanatana Goswami 呢？是他在 Goloka Vrindavan 的一位永恒的同友。
They don't need to discuss technical aspect of bhakti.
他们不需要用很大的篇幅去讨论这个 bhakti 这个奉爱当中的那些技术性的非常细致的那些专业性的东西。
So why is Lord Chaitanya spending 2 months with Sanatan Goswami discussing these things?
那为什么既然如此？Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 为什么还要用两个月的这个时间和他的门徒 Sanatana Goswami 细细的去讨论这一切呢？
Only for our benefit.
其实是为了我们的福祉。
They don't need this. We do need this.
他们是不需要去谈这些细节的，但是我们是需要的。
So Sanatana Goswami is already qualified.
那 Sanatana Goswami 呢？他本身就是一个已经具备了完全资格的人。
But he plays the role of a devotee.
那么但是呢，在这里他是扮演了一个奉献者的一个身份。
And he's inquiring from Lord Chaitanya.
那他呢，就是在求教于这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Just like Arjuna, before he could question Lord Krishna, he had to display the right attitude.Now I am a soul surrendered unto you. You please instruct me.
就好像在《佛家梵歌》里的 Arjuna 一样的，在他向这个 Krishna 提问之前，他首先呢就必须要端正好他的这个心态。那么他就先跟 Krishna 说：“我现在是皈依你的灵魂，现在请给予我训示。”那么这样子才开始了他们之间的对话。
So in the previous chapters, Lord Chaitanya.In response to Sanatana Goswami, presented first of all the authority of the Vedas.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在前面这一章在回答 Sanatana Goswami 的问题之前，他首先先确认了这个伟达经典的权威地位。
And then as the Vedas as authority, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains what do we find in the Vedas.
那首先呢，先确立了伟大经典的这个权威地位之后，接下来呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢就探讨了一个问题，就是在这个伟大经当中，我们究竟能够看到什么
？And we find that in the Vedas, Krishna is to be known.
然后呢，我们就知道这个答案是了解伟大经就是去了解 Krishna
as the source of everything.
它是万源之源。
And Krishna says that himself in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 15, text 15.
那么在这个就是博迦梵歌的第十五章的第十五个诗节呢 ，Krishna 他也是亲自说了这样的话。
15:15, Sarvasya Chaham Ridhi Sannivishto Mataksmitir Janamapohanamcha Vedeshta Sarver Aham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Vedavid Eva Chaham. Translation in Chinese by Krishna Premi Devidasi.
这个在第十五章的第十五个诗节当中的这个译文是这样的：我处于每个人的心中，记忆、知识和遗忘都由我而生。研习所有伟达经，目的就是了解我。实际上，我是终极伟达经 （Vedanta Sutra） 的编纂者，我也是伟达经的知悉者。
Vedanta Sutra. Who wrote Vedanta Sutra?
Yeah.
Who mentioned Vedanta Sutra?
Yeah, this is, I think, Vedanta Krit. Vedanta Krit, compiler of
Vedas. Anyway, Krishna says, I am the compiler of the Vedas, and in the Vedas, I am the one to be known.
那就是在这里呢，总而言之 ，Krishna 就是说，我是伟达经的这个编纂者，然后去了解伟达经就是了解我。
So, once we understand and accept that Krishna is to be known in the Vedas,Then Lord Chaitanya begins to explain about Krishna's energy, Krishna's incarnations.
然后呢，就是说，在就是确认了去了解伟达经，就是了解 Krishna 这样的一个要点之后呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢又继续讲了这个至尊主的能量，还有他的化身等等。
How Krishna expands everywhere within everything.
那 Krishna 呢是。怎么样这个扩展到万事万物之中
And then Krishna's abodes in Vaikuntha, in Goloka, in the material world.
然后呢接下来又讲到了 Krishna 在这个 Vaikuntha, 在 Goloka, 还有在这个物质世界的居所
And then Lord Chaitanya explains Krishna's opulence.
然后呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢又谈到了就是 Krishna 的富裕
And in the last chapter, Lord Chaitanya focused on Krishna's sweetness.
在上一章当中呢，这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的这个重点就是放在 Krishna 的甜蜜上。
In other words, there's always a sweet to attract the conditioned soul.
也就是说呢 ，Krishna 始终有这样的一种甜美，吸引着受条件限制的灵魂。
So when once you hear about the sweetness of You become very attracted.
当你听到了 Krishna 的这个甜美的时候呢，你的心就不由自主的被深深的吸引了。
So the last three chapters basically form what we know as Sambandha Dhyana.
所以呢，在前面这三章呢，实际上讲的是一个核心，那哲学上就叫做 Sambandha Dhyana,
which is the fundamental principle of knowledge.Which establishes Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then we understand our relationship with Him.
也就是说呢，就是说整个的灵性知识的一个基石，通过这个三班的量来得到了这个阐释。那么这个知识呢，就是Krishna 他是至尊人格首身那还有呢，就是我们个体灵魂和他之间的这种关系。
Now some devotees will remain on that platform.
那有一些奉献者，他可能就会停留在那个层面上。
They will dwell on all this knowledge constantly, which is it's a preliminary knowledge, but it's not meant to be. We're not meant to be staying in there.
那就是说呢，这个知识它是一个基础性的知识。那有些人呢，他可能就会一直徘徊在这个知识当中。但是这个知识它是一个基础性的这个知识，我们不能只是止步于此。
In other words, in Krishna consciousness, we are not meant to be stagnating, to stay in one place.
换句话说，在 Krishna 知觉当中呢，我们不要停滞在一个地方。
We're supposed to get some taste, some rasa.
那我们应当要就是在Krishna 知觉中获得某一种品味，能够有一种 rasa.
We're supposed to taste the bhav, the pure love.
我们应当是获得这个 bhav.也就是一种纯粹的对 Krishna 的爱。
One time a journalist interviewed Gaur Govinda Maharaj.
那有一次呢，有一个记者去采访 Gaur Govinda Maharaj.
And he asked him a simple question, he says, Maharaj, can you give me in a few words what is the essence of Krishna consciousness?
然后这个记者提出的这个问题就是说 Maharaj,您能不能用最简短的这个语言来描述一下 Krishna 知觉的精华所在？
And he says Krishna consciousness means to cry and cry and cry.
那这个 Maharaj 的这个回答就是说呢，他说 Krishna 知觉的意思就是去哭泣、哭泣、哭泣，或者说流泪、流泪、流泪。
The goal of life for a devotee is to learn how to cry for Krishna.
那奉献者的这个目标就是去学习怎么样为 Krishna 流泪。
But how do we get there?
那我们怎么样才能达到这样的一个境界呢？
Because these are very nice words, but look at our own personal condition.
因为这样的境界听上去非常的美好的，但是呢，看看我们的现状吧。
The tears cannot come out of the eyes.Unless we remove every single material desires from the heart.
就是说除非我们能够把内心当中的一切的物质欲望的残留都清除干净，否则的话我们是不可能泪流满面的。
So we can't go every day with inattentive chanting. We have to learn to chant with attention so that one day we can cry.
所以每天呢，我们不能心不在焉的去念诵，我们应当要全神贯注去念诵。这样呢，久而久之，我们或许有一天就可以为 Krishna 去流泪了。
Like now, there is some devotees who are coming forward to teach Sanskrit pronunciation.
就比如说呢，现在有一些奉献者们，奉献者在教大家去念这个。梵文的诵读发音。
So devotees become expert in chanting Sanskrit shlokas.
这样呢，这个奉献者呢，在这个念诵梵文的这种诗节上面呢，就可以非常的精湛。
And they get absorbed in the proper pronunciation.
然后呢，这些奉献者们呢，也都非常醉心于这个梵文的这个发音的精准度。
But the proper pronunciation is not as important as the meaning of the verse.
但是呢，这个发音无论多么精准，也比不上这个梵文词语的内涵来的重要。
So devotees become absolutely expert in reciting the Shikshastakam of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
所以呢，这个奉献者怎么呢？现在学会了很好的发音，然后呢，能够用最精准的这个梵文。来诵读这个组的八十密规。
But look at the meaning of every verse of the Shikshastakam. It will melt your heart. Forget about the pronunciation.
但是呢，我们来仔细的去这个探索一下八十密规里面当中的每一个字、每一个词。那这当中的这个深意。Don't forget about the pronunciation, but see the meaning.
Exactly.
去看到这个诗节当中的每一句话当中的这个深刻的这个含义吧。不要把这个注意力过于的专注在这个每一个诗节的精准的背诵上。
So, Lord Chaitanya is taking this great effort.To go through all the different steps of the process of devotional service so we can get the message, so we can understand what we need to do as conditioned souls to get one day to cry.
所以呢，齐天念马哈帕布在这里呢，他就要一步一步的去细细的描述奉爱服务的这个程序。那这样子呢，我们才能够能够理解这其中的这个一切，然后慢慢的去做，直到有一天我们也能够为 Krishna 去流泪。
And in the material world, we only cry for two reasons.
在物质世界当中呢，我们如果说我们流泪的话，只会是因为两个原因。
Out of joy or out of pain.
一个就是说是这个因为快乐而哭泣，一个是因为伤心而哭泣。
And why do we do that?
那为什么我们会这样呢？
Because in the spiritual world, we cry for the same reason.
因为在这个灵性世界中，我们的这个流泪，我们的哭泣，也是为了这两个原因。
Except that in the material world, our tears are only tears for temporary things. In the spiritual world, our tears are completely for Krishna.
这个，但是这里面的这个区别就是在于呢，在这个物质世界，我们所有的这个流泪哈，不管是悲喜，都是出于一种自私的。以自我为中心的这样的一种欲望，但是呢，在灵性世界的这个流泪是，只是因为一个原因，就是为 Krishna 去流泪。
So logically, at the end of the last chapter, which was this opulence and sweetness of Lord Krishna, we should come forward and say, "Please tell me more, tell me more. I want to hear."
那么说到了这前面的这一章，这前面的那一章的主题是。Krishna 的富裕和甜美，那我们听完了之后呢，自然而然应该是祈求我再告诉就是说我应该听到更多的，请你继续讲。
So Lord Chaitanya may ask you, oh, you want to hear?
那如果说你说我还想往下听，那么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 可能就会反问你，你真的想听更多的吗？
But what is your qualification?
那你的资格在哪里呢？
Are you qualified to hear?
你有去聆听的资格吗？
And that's how the next chapter begins.
那么所以呢，就是这下面这一章就是这样开篇的。
And as we explained before, at the beginning of each chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraja Swami has an introductory verse that he composed himself.
那就像我们前面给大家说的一样，就是在 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的每一章开始的时候，最前面的那个诗节呢，是由 Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami 他亲自来撰写的。
Yes.
Yeah, composed by himself.
Yes. So here in chapter 22, text number 1, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, "Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya."Devam tam karunarnavam kalavyapyati gudheyam bhaktir jena prakashita.
那刚才我漏了一个，就是每一章的第一句话，其实就是好像一个引导语一样，导语一样。
I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is an ocean of transcendental mercy. And although the subject matter of bhakti yoga is very confidential.He has nonetheless manifested it so nicely, even in this age of Kali, the age of quarrel.
刚才所 quarrel, 那就是刚才所说的这个诗节的意思呢，就是善达斯卡迪拉吉格斯瓦米说道，我向主须切坦雅马哈婆布致以前进的顶礼，它是超然仁慈的海洋，虽然巴皮尤嘎奉爱瑜伽的体子是如此的机密，但是呢，他却做了完美的展示，即便是在这个充满着纷争的年代，卡利年代。
So we have a conversation between two great personalities, Lord Chaitanya and Sanatan Goswami, but we have a third person here.
我们在这里呢，听到的是两个非常重要的、伟大的人物。Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Sanatan Goswami 之间的这个对话，但是在这里其实我们又看到了一个第三者。
And the third person is the writer of the book.
那这第三者呢，就是这部书的作者。
So he becomes the audience.
所以呢，他就是在这里，他就是一位听众。
And as the audience, he brings his own realizations.
那作为这个听众呢？他也透露了他的这种觉悟。
And he realizes that Lord Chaitanya is an ocean of transcendental mercy, not just a little puddle, not a drop, but an ocean.
他觉悟到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，就是超然仁慈的海洋，这是一个浩瀚的海洋，而不是一个小水潭或者是一滴水。
Why is that?
为什么是这样？
Because the subject matter of Bhakti Yoga is very confidential.
因为 Bhakti Yoga 就是奉爱瑜伽的这个体旨呢，是非常的机密的。
What is the meaning of confidential? How do you say confidential in Chinese?
机密 confidential 啊，英文里叫 confidential， 中文里就是啊机密或者说秘而不宣这样的含义。
So confidential means not everyone is supposed to know。
这个机密的意思就是说，不是让所有的人都去听。
Only between a few people, not everyone。
只是局限在少数人当中。所以不是说让寡而告之，不是让所有的人都了解。
Now, normally when something is confidential, you make sure that nobody can read it, nobody can hear it.
那一般来说呢，如果是说到机密的话呢，有的时候呢，甚至就会编上这个密码，就是让别人都看不懂，然后也明白不了。
So this is very conflicting.
所以这里用了这个机密这个词呢，看似就是好像有矛盾。
Because if it's so confidential, why do you write about it?
那因为如果说你说真的是一个非常机密的这个知识，那你为什么还要把它写成书呢？
What is the title of chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita?
那这个《博伽耶梵歌》的第九章是什么呢？ The most confidential.
The most confidential knowledge. The most.
这是第九章，《博伽梵歌》第九章叫最机密的知识，而且是用了这个最高级，就是说是最机密。
It's like no one is allowed. This is very, very confidential. Nobody is allowed to know.
就是说呢，这个是绝对机密的，不能让所有的人都了解的。
And it's right at the heart of the Bhagavad Gita.
而且就是在这个《博伽梵歌》的这个核心部分，中间部分。
And Krishna calls it the secret of all secrets.
然后 Krishna 他还描述说，这个是秘密中的秘密。
秘密中的秘密。Yes.
Yes.
So why is it available? Not only it's available to the devotees, it's available to the whole world. Devotees are distributing millions of Bhagavad Gita.
那既然是被称为秘密中的秘密，那为什么就是？又是让所有的人都能看到的，而且不仅是这个奉献者、非奉献者呢，他都有机会能够看到，而且奉献者们还在全世界的这个范围内派发出不计其数的博伽梵歌，那是为什么呢？
Doesn't sound to me like it's very confidential.
那个我听上去就觉得好像谈不上是什么机密。
But actually, when you read that chapter, most confidential knowledge, you can read it for 20 years, 30 years, 5 lifetimes, and you may still not understand it. That's why it's confidential.
但是有可能就是说，这个第九章，这个最机密的这个知识，你可以去念上20年、30年、五生五世，但是你可能到头来还是什么都不明白。所以说呢，这一章。
Confidential knowledge means it's there, it's available, it's right in front of you. But where is your heart?
什么叫最机密的知识呢？就是说，这个白纸黑字都在那儿明明白白的写的，你都可以看到。但是你虽然能够看到，能够去读到，但是你的心在哪儿呢？
That knowledge is hidden from the kamis, the gyanis, the yogis, the mystics. Everyone is put away from this knowledge. Only the bhakta can understand it.
就是说这样的一门知识对于 karmi 这个业报工作者、dhyani 哲学思辨家，还有 yogi 就是瑜伽师、玄密师，都是秘而不宣的。这个知识只能向这个 bhakta， 也就是说一个奉献者透露。换句话说，就是只有奉献者做奉献服务，他才能够明白这门知识。
And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions the age of Kali. What is the symptom of Kali? People are fighting constantly.
然后呢，在这第一个世界里面 ，Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami 他还指出了这是卡利年代的特征。什么叫卡利年代？其特征呢，就是充满着纷争，就是不断的在纷争的一个年代。
Like 2 months ago, the whole world was in complete panic over the virus.
啊，就是比如说呢，这个两个月之前，全世界人都因为这个新冠病毒陷入了恐慌。
And everybody was very concerned.
啊，大家呢都是非常的焦虑。
And people were trying to do everything they can to stop the virus from spreading.
嗯，然后呢，人们也用了各种各样的方法，试图去阻止这个新冠病毒的传播。
And what's happening today?
那今天这两个月过去了，到了今天是怎样的呢？
They're all fighting with each other.
啊，都是相互的打来打去。
It's your fault. You started. No, you started. No, you started.
都在那争论不休啊！这个说呢是你的错，那个说是你的，是从你这里来的这个病毒。所以说呢，这个国与国之间，人跟人之间呢，就这样争论不休。
That's the nature of Kali Yuga.
那这个就是卡利年代的特征了。
Maya is very, very expert.
这个 Maya 呢，简直是太精到了。
And sometimes amongst the devotees, the same thing takes place.
有的时候在奉献者之间呢，也会陷入到这种争论不休中。
There is a great opportunity to work together as a team, but no fighting.
本来奉献者是可以凝聚在一起，一个非常。团结的一个团队的形象去做很多的奉献服务的，但是奉献者是不愿意这样，就愿意去争来争去。
No, I know what my guru says.
每个人都以为我最了解我的 guru 的想法。
No, I know what Prabhupada wants.
都以为说我最了解Srila Prabhupada的愿望。
I don't need to listen to you.
我没必要听你的。
I know the right thing.
我知道该怎么做。
So many devotees are supporting me.
你看，这么多奉献者都在支持我。
So I don't need to listen to you.
我根本就不用听你说的废话。
Well, I've got some good news for you, Prabhu. You are making zero spiritual progress. Zero.
但我现在就要向你宣布这个结论就是给你一个消息。告诉你，你在这个时候，你在灵性上面是没有任何的这个进步。
It is not pleasing to the Vaishnavas. It is not pleasing to the Guru. It is not pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. And it is not pleasing to the Guru Parampara.
没有取悦这个奉献者，没有取悦Srila Prabhupada，没有取悦灵性导师，没有取悦整个的使徒传系。所以说呢，你在灵性的这个道路上面的进步是零。
To practice bhakti yoga and to have access to confidential knowledge, one must develop Vaishnava qualities.
修习 Krishna 知觉，要去从事 bhakti yoga 风爱瑜伽中的奉献服务。一个人首先就要具备 Vaishnava 的品质。
And that's what this chapter is all about. It's about, and you're going to see the verses that are coming up in this chapter.Are so striking that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose these verses specifically to warn the devotee that there is absolutely no access to bhakti yoga unless one has the right attitude.
所以在接下来的这一章当中呢，我们可以看到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他选择了一些非常特别，引用了一些非常特别的这些诗节。这些诗节呢，他。给你一种非常强的这种震撼力量，因为 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就是想要通过这些话来警示奉献者们，如果说你不按照这样去做的话，那么你在奉献服务的道路上是寸步难行的。
One time a devotee went to Srila Prabhupada.
有一次有一个奉献者来到 Srila Prabhupada 的面前。
And he told Prabhupada, you know, I cannot tolerate this devotee.
这个奉献者就说呢，对Prabhupada说呢，这个奉献者我实在是受不了了。
What did Prabhupada reply?
Prabhupada 的回答是什么呢？
Prabhupada said, please tolerate him the way I tolerate you.
Prabhupada 对他说呢，你应当容忍这个奉献者，就好比我如何容忍你一样。
We learn in the process of bhakti yoga.To emulate the mood in the spiritual world.
所以在 Bhakti Yoga 呢，在这个风爱瑜伽的修习过程当中，我们去学会了怎么样去遵循在这个灵性世界中奉献者的一种心态。
And unless we succeed to develop Vaishnava quality to emulate the mood of the spiritual world, we are not going anywhere but take another birth in this miserable material world.
那除非说我们能够培养出 Vaishnava 奉献者的这种品质，就遵循的是灵性世界的那样的一种心态，否则的话呢，我们还是会再一次去投身在这个痛苦万分的世界里。
So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says despite the fact that this Kali Yuga is a Yuga where people fight all the time, still Lord Chaitanya has manifested the process of bhakti.
那所以呢，在这个世界里面 ，Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami 就是指出，虽然我们是身处这个卡利年代，一个充满着这个纷争的这个年代，但是呢，这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他还是揭示了这门最机密的这个知识啊，奉爱瑜伽。
But don't forget what Lord Chaitanya mentioned in Chapter 10 of Adi Lila.
但是呢，我们也不要忘记 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这个阿迪丽拉上篇逍遥的这个第十章中的。
That when the devotee receives the plants of bhakti, he must become a gardener.
就是说呢，一个奉献者，当他获得了这个bhakti 奉爱之树的这个种子的时候，他就应当要成为一个非常好的园丁。
Because that plant of bhakti is very fragile.
因为这个巴蒂的这个小苗在这个时期是非常的娇嫩的。
If we make offenses, we will crush it to death.
如果说你那个疏忽大意做了这个冒犯的话呢，可能呢，你的这个奉爱的这个生命就结束了。
If we're not attentive, the weeds will grow.
如果你不小心不专注的话，那么可能这个野草。
And this is what happened in the age of Kali. We are surrounded by this tendency and this influence from Kali Yuga to make mistakes, to commit offenses, to fight. And this has absolutely nothing to do with Bhakti Yoga.
那在这肯定年代呢，我们就是身处这样的一种困境当中，我们周围都充满着这个错误，充满着冒犯，充满着这个纷争。但是呢，这一切跟这个奉献服务是丝毫没有任何的这个关系的，跟奉爱毫无关系。
So under the instruction and the guidance of the spiritual master, we have to learn to focus on developing bhakti with the right attitude. This is the note that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is giving us.
所以说呢，我们就应当要严格的去遵循我们的灵性导师所给予我们的训诲和指导，去小心的去培养巴提奉爱中的这种心态。那这个也是Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami 在这里要强调的，要引起我们关注的。
And this, as I mentioned before, this will be all elaborated within the writings of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan.
那就像我前面说的一样，我们所说到的这些要点呢，就是在这之后呢，是由这个 Vrindavan 的六 Goswami 在他们著作当中进一步的展开了。
So all this knowledge that we acquire about Krishna consciousness,
我们现在所获得的有关于 Krishna 知觉的所有的知识
，only remains theoretical and intellectual and informative.
就是说呢，好像还是停留在这个理论上，这个信息上面，停留在这个表面上面。
Unless,
对我们来说
，unless we move on to the next level, which is Abhideya.
就是说，除非我们进一步往前走，到了第二个阶段，也就是 Abhideya 的这个阶段。
Abhideya is the practice of devotional service.
那这个 Abhideya 呢？就是说我们实际的去修习去践行这个bhakti 奉爱服务的这个过程。
And this is what Lord Chaitanya is teaching us in this chapter.
那在这一章也就是说奉爱服务的程序当中呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就会教导我们。
So we will hear from him in the following verses.
我们在这一章接下来的诗节当中我们会去聆听 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导。
And there are some extraordinary verses that are quoted by Lord Chaitanya that are very, very beautiful and that I would request everyone to memorize and to recite on a regular basis.
然后呢在接下来的诗节当中有好多诗节都是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所精心选择而引用的。 那我也是非常美的一些时节，我也希望大家能够牢记在心，而且能够经常的去重复去背诵。
So, but that will be for next time.
不过我们要下星期再来讲这些内容了。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. 现在我们来看一下大家有没有这个问题。现在已经有四个问题问上来了。那第一个问题是来自于大，虽然我们知道态度正确才会取悦灵性导师，但是有时我们看到只要一个人很有能力，能做事，灵性导师就会被取悦啊，那怎么理解啊？ Although we understand that attitude.
Who is asking the question?
Das.
Das.
Although we understand that attitude, as long as we have a good attitude, the right attitude, then we can please the spiritual master. However, in reality, we always see that when someone is very capable or can be good at doing a lot of different things, then the spiritual master will be pleased. So how to understand?
There's no conflict?
这两者之间没有矛盾啊。
I mean,
some people, they may not have the attitude, but they are capable, then the spiritual master are very pleased.
No.
That's what we see.
No, that you see wrong.
那这个就是说 你看到好像一个人很有能力能做事，但是心态呢不怎么样，灵性导师也会取悦。那如果是这样一种现象的话呢，那说明 你就是你没有就是看对。
If a devotee achieves many things but he has the wrong attitude, believe me, it is not pleasing to the guru.
那如果说一个奉献者他有能力也做了很多奉献服务很多事情，但是呢他的这个心态非常的有问题，那灵性导师是不会被取悦的。
You can look at all our big senior devotees who are doing such a big service for Prabhupada. Look at their personalities. They are so humble.
那我们去看一下一些非常伟大的这个年长的奉献者们，他们为师了 Prabhupada 做出了丰功伟绩，做出了很多重要的奉献服务。然后你去看一看他们的品格，就会发现他们每一个人都是非常的谦卑的。
They each receive specific.Instruction from Srila Prabhupada.
当年他们每一个人都从 Srila Prabhupada 那里得到了特定的训示。
And they always check with each other, God brothers and God sisters, am I doing the right thing?
而且这些神兄弟神姐妹之间，他们是经常的互相征询意见，互相的参照，互相的检查彼此的行为的。就是说，他们时时刻刻都要去确认自己是否做得对。
If you look at even an example like Ambarish Prabhu, who is behind the entire project of the TOVP here in Mayapur.
那我们来举这个 Ambarish Prabhu 的这个例子的话，他当时从 Srila Prabhupada 那里得到了一个训示，就是来负责一个大庙 Mayapur 的大庙 TOVP 这个理解之庙的这个建设。
Who is coming from such a prestigious American family, super wealthy family.
他是就是来自于一个在美国的这个具有万贯家财的这样的一个上流的社会里面，一个家庭里。
If you stand next to him in the temple room, you won't even know that it's him.
但是呢，如果你是在庙里面看到他的话，你可能都认不出他来。
His attitude is so good. He's so humble, despite the fact that he is.Heading up such a massive project.
虽然他领导了一个这么巨大的令世全世界瞩目的这样的一个大工程大项目，但是作为他个人而言却是如此的这个谦卑，在人群中你甚至都不会注意到他。
So there's no such a thing as the spiritual master is pleased even if a devotee is doing big thing and doesn't have the right attitude. That is not right.
所以说呢，就是说如果一个门徒他非常有能力做了很大的这个事情，但是他的心态很不好，而灵性导师会被取悦，这样的事情是不存在的。
So you have to look carefully at what you are presenting here and you have to come up with proof evidence.
所以说如果有这样的一种万一有这样的一种情况的话呢，我们也得要有这种实际的这个证明来证明真的是有这样的人，然后灵性导师也被取悦，否则的话是不可能灵性导师会被取悦的。
Okay.
下一个问题是来自于人们的 Priya Mataji， 感恩帕布的精彩而实际的讲课，由 Guru 的门徒给我们的训示和 Guru 直接给我们的训示一样有力量，对吗？但有时由于自己的受限的状态，对待 Guru 的门徒给的训示并没有像 Guru 直接给的训示那么认真对待，完全归一，可能会有一点不确定是否真的完全来自于 Guru， 或者会不会与 Guru 的想法有点偏差，请问这种心态是一种冒犯吗？说明我们不够谦卑真诚，对吗？ Thank you Prabhu for your wonderful and practical class. Is it the right understanding that the instruction from Guru's disciples is as powerful as that from the Guru directly? So there are two different kind of instruction. One is from the Guru's disciple, the other is directly from Guru. Are they both powerful as much as like each other? This is the first question. And continue with that. Sometimes because of our conditioning, we may have a different attitude towards the instructions from these disciples. We are not as surrendered or serious as with the Guru's direct instructions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we may have a little uncertainty in our hearts, not sure if this instruction is directly from Guru or if it is exactly the same as Guru's instruction, or it is a little bit deviating. So this kind of attitude, is it an offense or not? Does that mean that we are not humble and sincere enough?
That's it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Yamuna Priya.
Yamuna Priya, 感谢你的问题。
From my experience, when I joined Krishna consciousness,
从我个人的这个体验而言，从我的经历而言，当我加入 Krishna 知觉的时候，
which is a few months before Srila Prabhupada passed away,
我是在 Srila Prabhupada 离开这个世界之前几个月加入的。
And from what I read in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita,
然后呢，从 Srila Prabhupada 的这个就是 Lilamrita 生平甘露或者说逍遥甘露的这个书里面传记中，我可以读到。
Not many devotees had access to Prabhupada directly.
实际上呢，真正能够直接的去接近 Srila Prabhupada 的奉献者并没有那么多。
But many devotees did write to Prabhupada personally.
那很多奉献者的确也是给 Srila Prabhupada 写了信。
And Prabhupada would reply every single letter.
然后呢 ，Srila Prabhupada 呢，他是每一封信都必回的。
I pray that one day some devotees will come forward to translate those 6,000 letters.
那我也期待有一天有奉献者能够把 Srila Prabhupada 的这6000封信都能够翻译出来。
And even though Prabhupada would answer to the devotee personally, anyone who received a letter from Prabhupada would read it out loud to the temple devotee.
那当时是这样。就算是帕帕给一个奉献者写了一封亲笔信，是给他个人的，这个奉献者呢，他也会在庙宇里面当着所有的奉献者的面读给大家听。
And not only that, but I remember that any senior devotee to me, any temple president or group leader was considered to be the highest authority.
而且当时我们的心态都是这样的，任何比我年长的奉献者、庙长，或者是说，是每一个部门的领导者的这个奉献者，我们都会觉得他们是权威，绝对的权威。
To directly represent Srila Prabhupada.
而且我们觉得他们是就是直接的是代表着 Srila Prabhupada 的。
So.We have to rely on senior devotees.
所以呢，我们应当去信赖、依靠年长的奉献者。
But you may say sometimes the senior devotees are not always reliable.
但是你可能会说，有的时候的这个年长奉献者也不是完全让人信赖的。
And the guru is not always accessible.
然后呢，又不能随时随。都能够直接的去接近 Guru.
So we have to be well educated, self-educated and self-informed especially in reading Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada gives so many instructions.
所以说呢，我们也要学会自学，然后要学会自我教育。那就是说，通过读Srila Prabhupada 的这个书籍当中，其实你可以看到，Srila Prabhupada 在书中给了很多的这个指导，很多的训示。
When we read Prabhupada's book, we don't just acquire knowledge, we also get a lot of information.
所以说当我们去看这个 Srila Prabhupada 的书的时候呢，不仅仅是吸收了很多的这个知识了，也很多，也是获得了很多的信息。
But we also have to trust that not just the guru, but another guru's disciple can also be guiding us.
但是呢，我们同时呢，也要有这样的一个信心，就是不仅仅我们的 guru 可以指导我们， guru 的其他的这个门徒也一样对我们具有这种指导。
Now, to connect to your next question,
那我们现在在讲到你下面的一个问题。
If we don't know,
接下来的那个问题。
How to understand the instruction of the guru, we have doubt about being able to follow it. That's the question, right?
No, not sure about the instruction from guru's disciples. Is the, represent guru's idea or not?
Well, the only way to find out is to ask the guru.
那你刚才说了你对于一个 guru 的其他的这个门徒或者年长奉献者的所给予的这个指导不知道是不是代表表的 guru 或者和 guru 的这个想法是否一致？那么帕布回答说：“那你最好的办法就是再去问一下 guru。”
Or you can ask another senior devotee.
或者呢，还有一个方法就是说，你去询问一下另外一位年长的这个奉献者。
This is a Vaishnava community.
我们生活在一个 Vaishnava 的团体里。
We should not be afraid to open our hearts.
我们不要羞于就是敞开自己的心扉，不要害怕。
But we have to do it intelligently.
但是也要有智慧。
Rupa Goswami says, inquire confidentially.
Rupa Goswami 也是这样说的，去敞开心扉。
And hear with confidence.
然后去也可以去聆听对方向自己吐露心声。
So each devotee should have a relationship with someone they can trust.
所以我相信每一个奉献者呢都有其他的奉献者就是你的非常的值得信赖的一个奉献者的这个朋友你是可以向他敞开心扉每个人应该都有这样的朋友。
With whom we can check if we are doing things properly, if we are following properly.
你可以去向那个奉献者去征询他的这个建议看一看确认一下自己。是否就是走在一条正确的道路上是否这个没有偏差没有做错事情
Don't be afraid to open up.
就是不要害怕敞开自己的心。下一个问题来自于 Sati Mataji, Hare Krishna, Dinbai Papu 和 Mataji, 如果派发了大量的书籍传教了很多人做了大量的服务怎么会不取悦灵性导师呢至少应该取悦圣泡帕德呀。请问帕福做服务的心态不同行为表现和结果有什么不同 Hare Krishna, my humble obeisances to you and the Mataji. If someone distributes a lot of books, preach to a lot of people, and has done a lot of service, how is it possible that he doesn't please the spiritual master? At least you should please Srila Prabhupada. So my question to you is that how the different attitudes in the service leads to different behaviors or results or consequences?
A devotee may be successful for some time, but not all the time. Unless the attitude is right.
就是说呢，一个奉献者，除非是有一个非常正确、非常好的这个心态，否则呢，他的那些所谓的很大的这个奉献服务的成就，也只是局限于一时一地，只是短暂的，不能长久。
And we've seen this. I mean, I have seen it personally many, many times.
那在我的这个经历当中呢，我已经亲眼见到很多很多次这样的状况了。
devotees are saying, wow, look like so many books distributed. Wow, he's making so many devotees. And then, oh, where is he?
然后奉献者说，哦，这个奉献者，哇，派了那么多，那么多的书，哇，这个传教了这么多，这么多的人，哎，某一天突然说，哎，这个人上哪去了？找不到，他消失了。啊，这种情况非常的多。
It doesn't matter what the results are. If the attitude is not right, you will be removed.
那不管是你的这个服务做得有多大，但是你的这个心态要是。不正确的话呢，有总有这么一天呢，你就会消失。
And we've seen it.
清除掉了。
And we've seen it in our own Chinese yatra.
在这个中国的这个 yatra， 我们这个区域当中，我们也有看到这样的先例。
And we see the devotees who have the right attitude, year after year after year, they bring results.
然后我们就可以看到还有一些心态非常好的奉献者，他们一直在坚持，日复一日，年复一年的做奉献服务。然后我们就可以看到呢，他的这个奉献服务呢，就是结果就是不断的在累积。Yes, just to confirm, the last one, different attitudes leads to different behaviors and different results.
Yes.
What's the difference? One is temporary, the other is...
No. Here is the key, Satimataji.
Satimataji, 我刚才又重申了你所问的最后的那个问题，让帕布再进一步的说一下。
One aspect of a good... Because attitude, a good attitude can mean many things. Having a good attitude can mean many things.
如果你说到一个人的心态非常好, 那这个其中的含义可能是很丰富的。
So let's say good attitude means you're confident.
比如说我们来说一个人心态很好, 那首先他就是, 非常的有信心。
You're humble.
然后非常的谦卑。
You're cooperative.
然后呢，是会有这种团队的合作精神。
You're helpful.
然后呢，乐于助人。
You're always active.
而且总是非常的积极活跃。
You always inquire.
而且经常呢，会去这个去询问。
You always prepare to accept your mistakes.
然后呢，随时准备接受，就是别人给自己指出的错误。
You always positive.
而且呢，总是一种正面积极的心态。So
all these things describe good attitude.
那我们刚才所讲的这个各个方面，其实都是对良好的心态的一个描述。Now
when any of these start falling apart, that's the beginning of the fall.
那如果说我们所前面讲的这一切呢，就是再不那么的认真的去遵循了，就崩塌了，那么。 你就会发现这个人慢慢就这个我们叫出溜下去了，就是慢慢的堕落下去了。But
there's one that I didn't mention, which is the most important.
那我刚才还落了一个非常重要的一点。And
that's detachment.
还有一个就是不依附。A
devotee must be detached. That's a good attitude.
就是一个奉献者应该要有这样的一种超脱不依附的这种态度。
You can be making millions of devotees, distributing millions of books, but if you're attached to the result, you are in for a big fall.
那如果说呢，就是说一个奉献者，他可能派了千千万万本书，发展了千千万万的奉献者，但是心里是极其的这种依附，没有这样的一种不依附的气质的这种心态的话呢。 可能就是有可能就会跌落下去了。We
have to learn to be detached, and when we are not detached, we have problems.
我们要学会不依附。如果说这个心里面的这种心态，这样的一种不依附的心态没有培养起来的话呢，可能这个问题的出现就是一个迟早的问题了。下一个问题来自于大奉献者常常说。 在念诵的时候会想到自己的灵性导师会哭，第一次见到灵性导师会哭，见到灵性导师走的时候会哭，讲到或听到一些笑的时光的时候也会哭。这些情况哭是灵性的吗？话不说，除非清除物质欲望，否则是哭不出来的。是不是这些奉献者在这些情况下哭，说明？ Very often we hear from devotees that they would think about their spiritual masters while chanting and they would cry. And when they see the spiritual master for the first time, they also cry. Or when they see their spiritual masters leaving and they would cry. Or when they hear or talked about the pastimes of the spiritual master, just to hear some pastimes, they would also cry. So that kind of crying is spiritual or not? Because in just now in the class, you mentioned that unless we remove all the material desires from our heart, otherwise we won't be able to cry. We will not be able to shed the tears. So does that mean that these devotees cry in such kind of circumstances? Does that mean that they are free from material desires?
Very good question.
您的这个问题非常好。
Crying is one of the ecstatic symptoms of pure love for Krishna.
有一种哭呢，是表现出了这个人对于Krishna 的一种纯粹的爱。
However, the Acharyas explained that each symptom is matched by something practical.
但是Acharya们也是解释说了，就是说。 在这种哭泣、这种狂喜当中的每一个特征，其实都有一个对应的，就是实际的行动。
In other words, how do you judge if a symptom is true or not?
换句话说，就是你可以拿这个作为准绳来去判断，就是一个人的这个哭究竟是不是真正的灵性的哭。
It is matched by something practical. In other words, you cry, let's see your service.
那所以呢，你就要有这样的一个参照一个对照，你就能够看出这个哭是不是真的灵性的哭了。换句话说，你经常的哭，那我们来看看在另外一方面你的奉献服务做得怎么样。
One time, Srila Prabhupada was coming out of his house in Vrindavan to go for a morning walk.
那有一次呢，有一个Srila Prabhupada，他就从他在Vrindavan的这个家中走出来，到外面去散步。
And one devotee was standing outside, and then he started to praise Srila Prabhupada. You are the pure devotee of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada. You came to save us, Srila Prabhupada. Everything you do, Prabhupada said, why don't you do something practical?
那这个奉献者呢，他就说，Prabhupada，你是。 这么一个纯粹的伟大的奉献者，你降临到这个世界上就是来拯救我们，就一连串的这个荣耀。然后Srila Prabhupada就回答，就是说你为什么不去做一些实际的服务？So
I mean, you can't criticize a devotee's emotions.
当然你不能去批评一个奉献者的这种感情。And
devotees are very sincere. If they cry when the guru comes, if they cry when the guru leaves. If they cry when they hear about the guru, you know that's their nature. They're emotional.
那就是你看到这个奉献者，看林星导师来了也哭，走了也哭，听到林星导师的笑时光也哭，那可能就是他的这个性格就是这样的。他是一个感情非常丰富的人，他也是真诚的。And
it's better to cry for the guru even sentimentally than to cry for Maya.
就是说，与其为玛雅这个虚幻能量去哭，当然是不如为自己的领导师而哭泣了。But
it's better if you match your tears with something practical devotional service.
但是最好呢，还是让你的这个泪水能够和你实际的这个奉献服务的行动相匹配。When
the gopis cry in separation from Krishna, they do so much service for him.
那些牧牛姑娘们，因为和 Krishna 的这种分离而这个愁绪满肠，就是不断的在哭泣。那同时，他们是为 Krishna 做了很多很多大量的奉献服务的。So
if we are not pure devotees, we have to express our tears through practical devotional
service.所以说，我们为了奉献者哭，同时我们也要就是。 在我们的实际的行动当中去做奉献服务，这样这两者才会匹配。
And this is actually how Prabhupada expressed his tears. He spread Krishna consciousness all over. These were Prabhupada's tears.
Srila Prabhupada 的泪水就是以他在世界各地去传播 Krishna 知觉来表达的。那他的这样的一种传扬 Krishna 知觉的行动就是他的泪水。下一个问题来自于喜宝。顶拜咕噜和翻译经过两年持续的阅读是了爸爸的书籍之后，我发现自己的生活方式和人生目标已经和过去的生活和圈子越来越远，在准备脱避咕噜这件事情上，却因为担心自己过往的罪恶和当下心意的晃荡而不敢轻易的走进咕噜。请问如果心里已经有了明确的咕噜，但是因为种种原因在今生没有能够得到启迪，那么在死亡的那一刻，如果能够想咕噜和 Krishna， 能不能让灵魂得到灵性的提升呢？谢谢。Please accept my humble obeisances. After reading incessantly Srila Prabhupada's books for 2 years, I have found that my lifestyles and the goal of my life is more and more distant from my previous circle. And I am seriously considering about taking shelter of a guru. However, I'm still concerned that because of my previous sinful activities and also because of my fluctuation of my mind, I am hesitant about approaching guru. My question is if in my heart I have already decided which guru I'm going to take shelter of, but for some reasons, I don't get the initiation in this lifetime, but at the time of death, I can still remember Guru and Krishna. Is it possible that my soul will still get elevation to the spirituality? Thank you very much.
You have to put things into perspective.
Can you say a little bit more so that I can...
You have to put all these elements in the right order.
就是说呢，你就要搞清楚在这个皈依的这件事的这个过程当中，这个彼此的先后顺序，然后相互之间的关系是怎样。
In other words, all your thoughts, your feelings, your aspirations,are all very healthy spiritually.
就是你刚才所表达的你的这种感受感情你的想法这些从灵性的角度上来说呢都是健康正当的。
But they have to be very well thought out and very well balanced.
但是你要有深思熟虑同时要有很好的平衡。
Not everything can happen all at once.
不可能说所有的这个事情都在同一个时间一起发生。
I don't know your personal situation.
我现在对你个人的情况还不了解。
But I would say, if you are married and you have children, I will beg you to slow down.
如果说你已经结婚了也有孩子的话呢，那我可能就要祈求你放慢一点脚步。
If you have family responsibilities, they are your first priority.
那就是说，如果说你还是在这个家里面还有很多的这个家庭的职责要完成的话，那么家庭的这个职责应当是你现在眼下最重要的事情。
Even if the rest of the family is not practicing consciousness，
即便是那个家里面其他的这些人没有在修习 Krishna 知觉
，This is your responsibility。
即便他没有修习 Krishna 知觉，你要履行自己的职责。因为这个是你的责任。
So you have to learn to balance the reality of life and then the reality of how much you can be involved in the practice of Krishna consciousness.
所以呢，一方面就是说你在你的实际的这种生活、然后家庭、工作等等当中的这种职责，然后另外一方面呢，你要这个去投入到这个奉献服务的修习当中。那么这两者之间呢？你要找到一个平衡。
It's not because we desire to have a guru that we will get one.
不是说我们心里想要有一位 guru 做自己的指导，你马上就能够得到一位 guru 的。
And it's not because a guru is being presented with a new devotee that the guru should give initiation.
也不是说一个新人被介绍到雇主的这个面前，然后这个奉献者就应当马上的得到雇主的启迪。
This is why the emphasis is that we should get to know Srila Prabhupada very deeply.
所以说呢，在这里我们就是要特别强调一点，就是首先要去深入的去了解 Srila Prabhupada。
So studying Prabhupada's books for 2 years, it's good if it brings you to the point of wanting to make adjustments, but you have to make sure those adjustments are not extreme adjustments.
所以说呢，你读了这个 Srila Prabhupada 的书，读了2年，这是非常的好的。所以呢，这也让你就是更多的想要对自己的生活进行一个调整。那但是我们也要小心，就是在你调整自己的生活的这个同时呢，不要走极端。
From the point that you accept Krishna within your heart, that's already the initiation.
在你的心中，真真实实。值得去接受 Krishna 的时候，其实你的启迪已经开始了。
From the point that you accept Srila Prabhupada as the ultimate shelter, that is your initiation.
当你在心中接受了Srila Prabhupada 为你最终极的这个庇护的话，你从那一刻开始，你已经开始得到了启迪。
Everything else is a formality.
其他的呢，就是一个程序的一个正式的程序的一个。
So you have to progress and you have to move forward, carefully.
所以说呢，当你一步一步的往前走的时候呢，你也应当要小心谨慎，要走得稳。
It's not because we choose a guru that we are qualified.
并不是说我们选择了一位 guru 就说明我们已经具备了这个资格了。
Because it becomes a huge responsibility for the spiritual master.
因为启迪对领导是意味着一个非常重大的责任。
So we have to do things methodically and we have to do things gradually.
所以我们应当要这个循序渐进有条不紊的去做。
Then you will get proper guidance, and everything will happen at the right time.
然后呢，你就会得到这个非常好的这个指导，在这个行进的这个过程当中，而且你就会就是在一个特定的时候就会做对特定的一件事情，就是每一件事情是有一个循序渐进的一个过程的。
So I repeat, because I don't know your situation, but I would have to tell you, because I'm very serious on this aspect, if you are already married with children, your familycomes first before Krishna consciousness.
所以说呢，其实对于这一点我是非常的认真的，因为我不知道你个人的情况是怎么样的。那如果说你是有家庭的，然后家里呢有这个丈夫有孩子，那么你的这个家庭呢实际上是应在这个时候应该放在第一位，甚至比你的 Krishna 拒绝。
Otherwise, there is absolutely no meaning of practicing Krishna consciousness if we dismantle a family structure.
如果说修习 Krishna 知觉致使我们让自己的家庭解体，那这个修习 Krishna 知觉就没有什么意义了。
Unless the family members are absolute demons.
除非是你的这个家人是彻头彻尾的大恶魔。
But it's not often the case.
通常是不会这样的。
So we have to look at the priorities.
所以说呢，我们就是首先要衡量一下自己的这个生活，看看什么现在是最重要的。
One thing at a time.
就是一步一步的去走。
No rush.
没有必要非常的着急，非常的鲁莽。下一个问题来自于天地，感谢帕布和翻译，物质层面的泪水也是有感情的，不是吗？和灵性层面的泪水的情感有区别吗？Is it true that the tears on the material platform is also full of feelings? What's the difference between the material tears and the spiritual tears? Also, the feelings, material feelings and the spiritual feelings.
The material feelings are, you know, they are what you experience in the moment.
物质的这个情感，那就是意味着你当下的一种感受，一种感情或者是情绪。
And those feelings can be feelings of happiness or feelings of sadness.
那可能是一种 开心或者是一种伤心悲伤。
But they are temporary. They're going to stop at some point.
但是不管怎么样啊，这种物质层面的这种情感是短暂的。
Just like you hear children laughing and playing and screaming.
啊，就好像你看小孩子这一刻还是在那儿大呼小叫，在那儿大笑啊，大嚷。
And then suddenly they go very quiet.
然后突然间就一切就停下来了。
And it's followed by the tears.
然后接下来就是哭，就泪水。
It's always like that's the natural one.
接下来这个孩子肯定就会放声大哭，所以这个就是这物质世界也是这样的。
Spiritual emotions are far more substantial.
灵性层面上的这种情感是更加的真实的。
Spiritual emotions are based on very deep realizations.
灵性的这个情感是以非常深的，是以非常深刻的一种觉悟作为基石的。
And they only increase, they don't go up and down.
而且灵性的这种情感它是不会起伏不定的，它会一直不断不断的增加。
Lord Chaitanya will discuss this at the end of this particular chapter 22.
就是我们现在所讲的是 Madhyamalila 第22章，在这一章的最后的这个部分，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu会专门说到这点。
So hang in there, it's coming.
所以说呢，你就耐心等待一下，到了这章的最后，你就会找到答案了。Ishvara Devadasi Dimbai Guru， 如果我们基于假我，不能跟奉献者和谐的相处，觉得自己可以独处休息，这样就能避免纷争，这样我们是不是能够做？这样我们是不是就能做再多的奉献，就做更多的奉献服务？心里头觉得很臣服于咕噜，是不是也不能取悦咕噜取悦 Krishna？ 是不是也不能了解这超然的经济知识富爱服的精髓呢？感恩咕噜。Please accept my humble obeisances. If we can't get along with devotees because of false ego.Thinking that we can be isolated and practice by ourselves so that we can be free from all the quarrels and the conflict, and we think that we can do more devotional service, feeling that in our hearts we surrender to Guru very well. So my question is, if we are in such kind of attitude, can we please Guru or Krishna, can we...get access to the confidential knowledge. Can we get access to the essence of bhakti or the devotional service? Thank you very much.
Very good question, Ishvara Devi.
这个 Ishvara Devi Dasi, 您的这个问题非常好。
I can reply your question in two ways.
我可以从两个角度来回答你的问题。
In some situation, it's healthy...to protect oneself.
从在某一些情况下面去进行这样的一种自我保护，这个是一个健康的选择。
If there are conflicts, there is tensions.
如果奉献者之间的这种关系变得非常的紧张，然后有很大的这个冲突纷争。
Or if we don't get along.
或者我们跟别的奉献者很难和谐相处。
But then what's the reason why we don't get along?
但是我们要问的是一个问题，就是说为什么你跟别的奉献者没有办法和平共处呢？
It's because of the false ego.
那是因为假我。
It's nothing else, it's just the false ego.
那没有别的原因，只是因为假我。
On a higher level, I'll give you another example.
那我可以从一个更高的这个层面上再给你举个例子。
Acharyas can write different things on the same philosophical point.
就是这些 Acharya 们，历代的先师们，他们可以就同一个哲学的这个主题写不同的经典文献。
They look at one specific point in a different way.
因为他们是从不同的这个角度去来去对这个哲学的这个要点进行阐释。
But their conclusion is always the same.
虽然他们是从不同的这个侧面，但是呢，最后的这个结论是一致的。
So there's no argument, there's no fight, there's no false ego. They just have their own flavors.
所以说呢，就是说在这里呢，从这个例子上可以看，他们没有假我，他们就是只不过是从不同的这个侧面，有他自己的这个品味，从这个觉悟自己的品味上面来写的。
So we have to look at the symptom of the disease here. The symptom of the disease is false ego.
所以我们现在呢，首先就要探查一下这里的一个病症，就是你这个病症表现在哪里呢？其实是来自于这个假我。
And false ego means pride.
那假我呢，就意味着骄傲。
Of course, you can't avoid, you know, mismatch of personalities.
但是呢，当然了。就是说不这个情投意合的奉献者硬把他们拴在一起，这个是不行的。
You can't force somebody to get along with someone else if they have different personalities.
如果两个人的这个性格的差异实在是太大，就是没有办法把他们拴在一起，强迫他们能够和对方和谐相处。
However, I would find it very strange if one devotee cannot get along with any devotee.
但是说呢，如果说万一有这么一个奉献者跟谁都相处不下去的话，那我就要打一个很大的问号。
So what this would look like in the spiritual world?
那这个就非常奇怪的一个现象。那在一个这个灵性世界上面，从灵性角度来说，我们怎么看
？You arrive in Goloka Vrindavan.
就是说，好比你去了 Goloka Vrindavan.
There's nobody around.
就是在那儿了。周围一个人都没有，空无一人。
You're on your own.
你是一个人在格罗卡文达。
You have your own space for your own ecstasy.
你自己有一个全部的自己的一个空间，尽情的表达你的狂喜。
Not only there's nobody around, but even Krishna is not there.
而且呢，在这个格罗卡文达不仅是空无一人，就连 Krishna 都不在那，就剩你自己。
That's actually a little bit impersonal.
这个听上去就是。有一些非人格性的。
And you know, in the early days of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada used to receive numerous letters from devotees who were fighting, and Prabhupada used to beg them.
那 Krishna 之前早期的时候，在西方传播的早期的时候，释迦牟尼呢，就每天都收到无数的来自奉献者的信件。这些信件里大多。都是在这个你争我夺的这种互相争吵的这些信件，那个时候释迦牟尼就会祈求他们，恳求他们。
Krishna consciousness is not about you. Krishna consciousness is about serving Guru and Krishna together.
他就告诉他们说呢，这 Krishna 知觉的核心不是你 ，Krishna 知觉的核心是去服务 Guru 和 Krishna。
And we have to understand more importantly that if we can't work out thosetensions and difficulties, we won't be able to attract anyone to Krishna consciousness.
那还有一点是非常重要的。如果我们没有把这些矛盾冲突给解决，不把这种紧张的这种气氛给舒缓下来的话，我们是不可能吸引任何人的。
So, it's good sometimes to isolate yourself so you can replenish and be more absorbed.But there still has to be an effort made to cultivate relationship with devotees.
就是说，有的时候你可以在短时间里面有一个独处休息的这个时间，来这个修补一下自己，然后呢，去获得一些更多的灵性的这个力量。这个有的时候是可以接受的，但是与此同时，你也要想办法去就是解决和奉献者的冲突的问题，要想办法能够和。别的人能够和谐的这个相处。悄悄的问您，这个有，然后现在有一个问题，就是说 ，Where can we get the six seven letters from Srila Prabhupada? Are there any other conversation?Record of conversation about Srila Prabhupada.、
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the question.
Who is
Where can we get the 6,000 letters in English, where can we get all the conversations about His Divine Grace?
Who is asking the question?
Not to be revealed.
Not to be revealed?
Yes. Just to answer the questions.
Why should I be under pressure to answer a question if I can't have the revelation of the person who is asking? But I will answer it anyway. You will get all of Prabhupada's archives.
你可以得到 Srila Prabhupada 的这个文件。
Yes.
就是他所有的这个档案资料。
The letters.
就是 Prabhupada 有一个这个档案，这个里面呢有他的
信件， conversations,
还有这种室
内。The morning walks.
室内谈话。
The videos.
清晨的这个漫步的清晨散步的那些对话，
yes.
还有那些视频，这个都是在 Prabhupada 的这个档案。
When the devotees will learn to grow up.
但是有一个前提，就是奉献者呢要学会长大。
When the devotees who are known as being senior will go from babyhood to teenage to adulthood.
就是说那些所谓的年长的奉献者要学会从婴儿长到就是要开始从婴儿经历幼年少年长到成年人，就是这些年长奉献者要成熟起来。
If devotees are senior and apparently mature, but they behave like babies, then they just need to drink some a bit more milk.
那如果说呢，那些所谓的年长奉献者呢，就是外表上看上去好像非常的年长资深，非常的成熟，但是心里头实际上呢，还是像婴儿一样。那就意味着他还得多喝几天奶。
When the devotees who are so-called senior will use their intelligence and their devotion to cooperate together, then everything will be manifest. Until then, absolutely nothing will happen.
那年长的奉献者呢，如果能够变得更加的成熟一些，懂得彼此尊重，彼此的这个合作，共同的去做奉献服务。那当他们已经达到了这个程度的时候，一切才会向他们敞开，向他们揭示。否则的话呢，在这之前的话是绝对不可能的。
When a baby is still drinking milk after 20, 30, 40 years, you can't expect the baby to do something substantial for the father.
如果说一个婴儿喝奶，喝了二三十年、三四十年，但是还在喝奶的话，你就不能期望他能够真的为自己的父亲能够做一些大事。
That's my answer to the non-revealed name.
这个我是向这个匿名者的一个问的这个问题的一个回答。
In other words, grow up.
换句话说，就是总结成一句话，就是快些长大吧。
Krishna consciousness is not about the number of years in Krishna consciousness nor the age. It's about attitude.
Krishna 知觉和一个人的年龄和一个人在 Krishna 知觉当中的年头是没有任何关系的。Krishna 知觉的核心是一个人的心态和态度。
Next question.
下一个问题来自于 Sumuti Radha Dasi， 顶拜帕布和Mataji， 感恩你们。精彩的讲课，请问我们在日常的修习中遇到的各种问题，往往需要及时得到指导，与不同要通过翻译的转达，这就很难第一时间解决问题。如果我们谦卑的请教信赖的高级的奉献者，以及各位讲课的顾问和老师，可以当作所得到的也是来自于超灵的训示吗 ？Thank you.Very much for your wonderful class. My question is, we may encounter all different sorts of questions in our daily practice, which needs immediate guidance. However, in the process of communicating with our gurus, it takes a much longer time. For example, we have to go through our translators. So we cannot get our problems solved immediately. If with a very humble attitude, we inquire from those senior devotees whom we trust very much, or we ask questions to those the lecturing gurus or teachers, then when we get their answers, and we consider it also a revelation of instructions from the Super Soul.
Super Soul? Why Super Soul? Just the guru is good enough.
你刚才说可以所当做所得到的也是来自于超灵的训示嘛，他不说没必要说到超灵，就当成是灵性导师的你的 guru 的训示就好了。
For I'll give you an example.
我给你举个例子。
Which may have happened to you before.
这个可能在你以前也在你身上发生过。
You listen to a class or you sit down for a class.
比如说你去听一个课。或者说你坐下来去听听一个讲课。
And you already have questions formulated in your mind.
当时呢你的这个头脑里已经有一些问题。
And you're thinking to yourself, I'm going to wait until the end of the class and I'm going to ask my question.
然后你就在想呢，我就等着这个课结束的时候我要举手提问。
And as the lecture unfolds, your question is being answered.
但是在你听这个讲课的这个过程当中呢，慢慢讲下去的时候，你就发现你的问题呢都得到了解答。
And you think, wow, I had these questions, but he answered it.
然后你自己也感到很吃惊，哦，我脑子里有那么多的这个问题，但是居然在讲课的过程当中就一一得到解决了。
I'll give you another example. That happens quite often.
这个是经常发生的。
A devotee, just any devotee, gives a class.
不管是谁，任何一个奉献者给了一个问，就是在讲课。
And someone asks a question, and he answers the question, and he answers the questions properly.
然后另外一个人呢，听众呢，就问这个讲课的人一个问题，然后这个奉献者就回答了这个问题，而且呢，也回答的恰到好处。
And the person who asked the questions got the answer right from the speaker, but in the heart may not accept it.
就是这个提问题的这个奉献者呢，其实他所得到的这个讲课的奉献者的这个回答是非常正确的，但是他心里面呢，却还是不能接受。
Then comes the guru.
然后接下来这个 guru 就出现了。
And the devotee will ask the same question to the guru.
那这个奉献者就把之前问过的那个问题又问了一下 guru，
and the guru will give the same answer as the previous devotee。
然后这个 guru 的这个答案呢，和之前讲课的时候的那个讲课的奉献者是一样的。
Now you accept it。
那现在呢，你才接受。
Why didn't you accept it at the first place？
那为什么你一开始的时候听课的那个时候你就不能接受呢
？Because your mind is judgmental。
因为呢，你还是心里面有这种评判。
So。We have to learn that if we have a question which is important, and if someone else but the guru answers that question properly, then he is speaking on behalf of your guru.
所以说我们就是要接受一个这样的一个事实，当你去询问一个问题的时候，那回答你这个问题的不是你的 guru， 而是另外的一个奉献者，但是他回答的非常的正确，非常的这个完美。那即便不是你的灵性导师，你也应当接受这样的一个答案，并且把它看成是你的灵性导师所给予你的答案。
And this brings another important point.
那这个就让我联想到相关的一个要点。
And the point that Prabhupada says, the qualification of the spiritual master and the qualification of the disciple is their expertise to only repeat what they heard.
那就是说帕帕他说呢灵性导师无论是灵性导师还是门徒他们的这个共同的一个资格就是说他们能够如其所如的去重复他们所聆听到的一切。
And Prabhupada used to say this quite often. He says, my only qualification is that I'm only repeating the words of my spiritual master.
因为他在讲话当中讲课当中也经常要重复一个要点，他说呢，我唯一的资格就是说，我唯一的资格就是重复了我的灵性导师的讲话。
So yes, if we have no quick access to our own guru, we may ask the question to someone who is either equal to the guru or junior to the guru.
所以呢，的确就像你说的一样，有的时候我们有一些问题不能马上的得到灵性导师的这个解答，那我们就可以询问一下和灵性导师的这个同意层面的一些奉献者，或者比灵性导师更加那个资历更浅的这个奉献者，你可以去询问他们。Okay,
one more question from Yang Galian.
Yang Galian, 顶拜铺入顶拜翻译在出席的阶段，对违反四项规范原则的事难免会做，比如在喝酒、吃东西方面，在抵挡不住这种欲望的时候，该怎么样做呢？是不转移注意力，或者强制去控制？如果强制控制，这样会带来怎样的结果呢？请Guru指导。Hare Krishna, 顶拜您的莲花足。Please accept my humble obeisance. When we are at the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, we may not always be able to follow the four regular principles. For example, we may drink some wine or we eat something improper.So when we can't resist this temptation, what should we do? Should we just be focused, or we should force ourselves to be away from the temptation and to control ourselves? If we force the control upon ourselves, what would be the consequence or what would be the result? Please.Give me some guidance on this point. Thank you very much.
First, it's important to know what the goal is.
首先你要明确你的目标是什么。
And sometimes the goal seems to be very high and inaccessible.
有的时候这个目标呢看起来有些遥不可及，觉得你就会觉得太难了，太高了，你触及不到。
And we may feel helpless or...You know, I'll never be able to make it.
然后你可能会灰心丧气，觉得非常的无助，觉得我是永远做不到的。
But one thing is, at least we know there is a goal.
但是这个有一点非常的重要，就是你至少知道有一个目标，目标在哪里。
And the goal is pure love for Krishna.
那我们的这个最高目标就是对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱。
Now, how will I get there?
那么高的这个目标，我怎么样才能够到达呢？
The spiritual master is giving a set of procedures to help us get there.
其实灵性导师他已经给了我们一套方案，一个程序，告诉我们怎么样一步一步的接近这个目标。
And it begins quite abruptly with follow the four regulative principles.
然后呢？这个起步呢看似好像就是比较的突然，因为从这个追随四个规范原则开始的。
But even before the impositions of those four regulative principles, there is the main principle, and that is to chant Hare Krishna.
但是实际上呢，就是在你强迫自己去做这个规范修习之前，其实还有一个非常重要的一点就是去念诵 Hare Krishna 曼陀罗。
Now,
你可以从那个开始。
You have to understand that following and maintaining the four regulative principle, there's nothing spiritual about it.
还有一点要非常重要，大家要知道的就是去严格的去遵循四个规范原则。这四个规范原则本身，它不是灵性的。灵性意义上的规范原则。
Four regulative principle is only to raise the human being to the platform of goodness.
实际上呢，这四个规范原则是帮助人一个人他能够 得到这个提升，能够在这个善良形态的这个层面上。
But chanting Hare Krishna, that's extremely spiritual.
而唱诵或者念诵 Hare Krishna, 那是极度的灵性的。
So instead of concentrating on what you can and cannot do,
所以说与其挣扎着你什么应该做，什么不应该做。
And fighting the temptation.
然后呢跟自己的这种欲望和诱惑做斗争。
Why don't you shift your focus on chanting as often as you can?
还不如说把你的这个注意力转移到尽可能的去念诵圣名上面。
Because when you become attached to the chanting, trust me, believe me, the four regulative principles will not be an issue.
因为呢你要相信我这一点就是如果说你的专注力能够在念诵圣名上，然后久而久之的话，那个遵循四个规范原则这件事情呢，其实就根本不是一个问题了。
That's called getting the higher taste.
这个叫做什么？叫做你已经获得了一个更高的品味。
So when you become attached to the chanting, you get the higher taste. Everything else below.For that is insignificant.
换句话说，就是当你就是非常的依恋这个对圣名的念诵的时候，你有了品味，你就是有了一种更高的这个依附。那么比这个念诵圣名这种灵性的这个事情更低的那些东西，更低级的这些东西的话，就不会对你造成这种诱惑。就不成为问题，就自动瓦解了。
So do me a favor, make an effort to concentrate on the chanting.
所以说呢，希望你能够努力的去好好的念诵。
And you will see how your taste for inferior things will disappear.
你就会发现，你对于那些更低等的那些事情的这种就对你有诱惑力的那些事情的品味呢，就自然而然的就消失了。
Okay, so we have no more questions for today. Thank you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
Sumukhi Radha Mataji, 非常的感谢你。
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi Mataji 的翻译。
Thank you for all the excellent questions.
感谢所有的好问题。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.Sri Sanatan Goswami Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Kashadesh Yatra Ki Jai, Go Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
Hari Hari Bol. 百坤的知音服务员玉林，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的Chaitanya Jing, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita 就到这里结束，我们下周同一时间再见。那我们刚才看到又有一个问题提上来，又跟去Answer the question.
There's no more questions.
There's one here. Do you want to answer?
Come on.
那这个问题是刚才就是发下来的。乐逍遥，顶拜咕噜翻译你好，我每天念诵圣名的时候就犯困，放下念珠就清醒了，这种情况该怎么办？
I don't see a question now.
Yeah, this is here. Every day, as soon as I pick up the beads and start chanting the holy name, I would fall asleep. But when I put down the bead bag, I become awakened. What can I do?
Walk.
你在这种情况下，你就一边念诵一边走路。
Go out and walk.
你到外面去走，一边走一边念，保持清醒。
That's all.
就这样。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.OK, 那我们今天的讲课就到这里。我们下周同一个时间，也就是星期三早上七点，继续再往下讲。我们现在讲到的是《永恒的Chaitanya经》《玛迦丽拉中篇逍遥》的第22章《奉爱服务的程序》。感谢大家的聆听，下周再见 ，Hare Krishna。